Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use? No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 20th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. Then absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We were not live on Saturday. Of course, we were live on Friday. A quick recap of Friday's broadcast starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Chris Carlson. Discussions of all things liberty. And we discussed Happy Constitution Day. Friday was September 17th, Constitution Day. And we present several children's stories that illustrate moral principles relevant to our current political situation today, if you will. We talked about the goose that laid the golden egg. We talked about stone soup. We talked about the emperor's new clothes and the parable of the frozen rattlesnake. We talked about Cynthia McKinney documenting that U.S. lawmakers virtually forced to sign a pledge to support Israel. Israel loyalty pledge. Who really controls Congress? That was our one of the broadcasts. Hour two, we had on, of course, Dr. Scott Bradley to preserve the nation, freedomsrisingsun.com. And we talked about cancel culture promoted on a worldwide scale. We talked about George Washington, September 19th, 1796, religion and morality, immorality are necessary conditions of the preservation of a free government. You got to have religion and morality, ladies and gentlemen. It's impossible without it. All right. That's an important understanding that we really need to kind of think about. George Washington. September 19th, 1796. Religion and morality are necessary conditions of the preservation of free government. Amen to that reality check. We also talked about why do we celebrate LGBT History Month, but we only have one day for the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that in America. We talked about Alexis de Tocqueville. The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can vote and bribe the public with the public's money. In other words, the government can take your money from you or raise money related and then give it back to you and, wow, redistribute the wealth. That's going to be the undoing of America, said de Tocqueville. We also talked about justice for J6 rally in D.C., it was this weekend. I said, don't attend, ladies and gentlemen. We said, who is this guy? Who is this guy that leads this thing, right? Who the heck is this guy that created the Justice for J6 rally? Matt Brainerd. Now, Matt, they say he's been around for a long time, but in my opinion, he's a big-time Republican insider. Anyway, we talked about that quite a bit. Don't go to the J6 rally. Well, you want to know what happened at the J6 rally just this last weekend? You had a bunch of bureaucrats, cops, government, whatever, everywhere. And then you had less than 100 right-wingers or patriots is what they want to try to call them. It was a disaster. Anyway, nobody showed up except the cops pretty much, and that was the end of that. A lot of influence, I guess they say. But when less than 100 people show up, how much influence is that? Just wondering. All right, we also talked about the incredible book on Constitution Day called The Constitution, a Heavenly Banner, written by Ezra Taft Benson. The Constitution is indeed a heavenly banner. It's the divine blueprint for civil law upon the earth. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to that. The Constitution is the blueprint for liberty. I say that all the time, and it's absolutely true. We also talked about the incredible movie called A More Perfect Union. America Becomes a Nation. It's a 1989 film put together by Brigham Young University that really highlights and dramatizes the 1787 Constitutional Convention. The film was produced, as I said, by Brigham Young University to commemorate the 200th year celebration of the Constitution back in the day. Anyway, great film, A More Perfect Union. Great book, The Constitution, A Heavenly Banner. Really vital, I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, we celebrated Constitution Day big time, ladies and gentlemen, with just reason to do so. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. Anyway, I want to just highlight a little bit of what we also accomplished. On Friday, I don't know if you know, but we had a big celebration. And I only invited a few family and friends to this event. But Liberty Roundtable is in its 25th year of broadcast excellence. And on Constitution Day, this last Friday, 2 days ago or whatever, we celebrated big time. And we had a fantastic time. We gave awards for all those who have been involved in the proceedings and more. And it was just a tremendous time. We had a dinner. We had some comedians. We had the awards. We had several speakers. I gave the final or the whatever you want to call it, wrap-up speech. And I basically talked about you need to learn to be at the right place at the right time, ladies and gentlemen, in your life. And I talked about specific miracles that I've experienced in my life, being in the right place at the right time. We talked about our foray into radio, how we got involved a little bit, what we've done, some details. And really the idea is if you're going to be in the right place at the right time, you've got to go back to George Washington's statement. September 19th, 1796, religion and morality are necessary conditions of the preservation of free government. There is no other way, folks. So in an effort to claim the moral high ground, I said, you got to be in the right place at the right time. And the only way to do that is to get on your knees and pray hard. And when you get on your knees and pray hard, ladies and gentlemen, and then you get up and you go to work, God can guide your steps. God can guide your the things that you say and the things that you do to where you're in the right place at the right time to make a difference for the sacred cause of liberty. Anyway, I gave some examples of miracles in my life. And I told the audience that, you know what, miracles can be had by all of us. And there's a little secret that I'm going to share with you. If you have faith to believe in Christ and believe in miracles, and then you take the time to acknowledge miracles when they happen and write them down or remember them or acknowledge them before God and thank him for them, etc., you get this circle of faith and obedience to God's commandments creates miracles. When you have miracles and then you acknowledge them and when you document them and when you show gratitude for them, you create this circle. The more you have faith, the more miracles happen. The more miracles happen, the more you acknowledge them, and the more gratitude you have for them, the more faith you gain. And as we do this and learn to stand in the right place at the right time because we pray to God daily for guidance of where to be, miracles will happen. The miracle of America is something to behold. Miracles in your personal life can be had daily. Do you turn to God? Do you repent? Do you claim the moral high ground? Do you have morality and religion in your life? If you do, then you're worthy of a free nation. If you don't, you're not worthy of it. But anyway, I continued my speech and basically talked about this and highlighted that you need to be in the right place at the right time. And the only way to do that is to let God lead you, guide your steps. I digress, but I wanted to highlight the speech that I gave a little bit so that people can kind of understand. I can't cover it all. It was a very personal group that I shared some personal stories with, etc. Not that you're not part of that group. It's just that it doesn't belong on the public airwaves, right? Anyway, all I'm telling you is there are blessings to be had, ladies and gentlemen, for those who keep the commandments of God and those who have gratitude and faith for miracles. I'm telling you, it's a circle that if you learn to work at, you'll have more miracles in your lives, more blessings than you can possibly imagine. The windows of heaven will be opened and poured down upon your heads. But it all starts with turning to God in prayer and repenting. I talked about my dear mother, and she had incredible, powerful prayers that could move mountains. And we need to learn to pray like that. And then we need to learn to get up and work like that. And as we're in the right place at the right time, you can expect miracles to happen because God has promised them. And when they happen and when you acknowledge them and when you have gratitude for them and go to God and thank you so much for these miracles, I'll just give you one little example of a miracle. On Saturday, we had a big family fun day planned, 11 to 2. We woke up, it was raining, and it was planned. Every time we'd look at the weather, the rain just got pushed back further and further and further. And we didn't know what to do because we had a bunch of events in the park and we didn't have any coverings. Anyway, long story short, we prayed, and we got to work. And we literally set up shade tents, which I guess could turn into rain covers. We set up tables. We set up all the different games that we had, and we prayed. I'm telling you right now, it cleared at 11 and started to rain at 2. Virtually exactly like we prayed for. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't get everything you pray for, that God's not real. I'm just telling you that he chooses the time and place to deliver miracles. But when we pray for them and work towards them, we need to expect them. Not that we demand from God, but that we have faith and trust that he does care about our children, about his children, and he will deliver. Anyway, that was just a simple example of the point. And it happened to us last weekend. I digress. Lowell Nelson with us in mere seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live nationally syndicated radio talk show.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org. So anyway, I digress. I'm just telling you, we had an incredible event last weekend, and I gave my speech, and really it's about being at the right place at the right time and expecting miracles. Faith precedes the miracle, ladies and gentlemen. But we got to hold the moral high ground, as George Washington taught us. We got to have religion and morality as the two great conditions or supports, if you will, to a free society. And we need to learn to pray hard and get up and work. And we can expect miracles. God's promised them to us. And it's all about learning to be at the right place at the right time for those wonderful things to happen. Anyway, it was a speech I gave on Friday night. Lowell, welcome, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Sam. Good to be with you.
All right. Any thoughts on that before we move to a bunch of topics here?
Wow. Yeah, I'm just very impressed. I just love to hear you talk that way, Sam, because that's so true. It's been true in my life. It's been true in your life. You know, as a football player, during my high school years, and one of the slogans we had was preparation. I can't remember exactly, but something like preparation results in good luck or something. I mean, it basically says that there's no such thing as good luck. You have to make your own good luck, and you do that through hard work and preparation. And that's where, you know, good preparation, hard work meets opportunity. That's where, you know, the so-called good luck comes from. So heaven smiles on you know, and favors those who work really hard with faith and do all that they can do to accomplish some good, righteous cause. Then heaven smiles on their efforts. And from that comes these marvelous experiences, these experiences where you look up and say, wow, you know, this could never have happened without heaven's help. Or this was just amazing. No one would ever believe me if I told them this. I mean, those types of experiences come when heaven smiles on your good efforts, Sam. So I thank you so much for sharing that.
And that is the miracle of America, ladies and gentlemen, to understand. If you really study the founding fathers and you understand how they disagreed and how all these complicated things, man, the idea that we even have a country, in the first place, from the American Revolutionary days and then the Civil War days, that America could not be war-torn and destroyed forever, but yet conquer. And, you know, I really probably 70% support the side of the South in the Northern Aggression War. But at the same time, I'm grateful that America, the nation, has stayed together. And I believe that America will be the nation that creates a group of people, a contingent, if you will, of people that are prepared to meet the Savior when he returns. And so there's a sacred history there, miracles all along the way that we point to, etc., ladies and gentlemen. We got some negative news to discuss with Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, though. And that is, you know what? We got to talk about the American Empire's true face. Sadly, America is turned away from its constitutional roots, from its founding, from its blueprint, if you will. And we become really an empire. And we've literally mandated our views around the world. It's caused all kinds of blowback for decades. We've got to jettison the war mentality, the empire mentality. But this first article really is sad, Lowell.
It truly is, Sam, and just demonstrates de Tocqueville's statement. You know, he said that America is great because she is good. And if she ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And unfortunately, I believe that we have ceased to be good, collectively speaking, and therefore we have ceased to be great. No longer do we value life, apparently. Sam, killing children is not considered a war crime anymore. Why do I say that? Well, because just 3 weeks ago now, 2.5 weeks ago, the U.S. sent a retaliatory drone strike in Afghanistan, basically to retaliate against, you know, that suicide bomber who killed 11 or 13 of our servicemen and several hundred Afghanis. And so we sent this strike, and immediately it was reported in local media about all the civilians that it had killed. It had killed like 10 civilians. And the Pentagon said, no way, we killed an ISIS target. And they lied for 2 weeks, Sam. They lied about this.
Let me just stop you there. This is where, if we got foreign news on this, reported the details, they would claim we're lying and we're peddling fake news. But the truth is, they lied for a couple of weeks until the lies became so, well, they couldn't just defend them. Too much evidence was coming out. Too much information was rolling forth to where they finally had to reverse the lies and admit the truth. So the government engaged in fake news for 2 weeks plus.
Yeah.
And this is just one of thousands of examples we can give, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And CNN, in fact, was one of the original, on the day of the strike, the foreign correspondents of CNN reported the civilians died. There's civilian casualties. And the Pentagon still, like Sam said, for 2 weeks refused to report that. Well, the gentleman, the so-called target, his name's Ahmadi. Basically, he is an aid worker, you know, rescuer. He's helping, he's delivering water and medical supplies to people, his own people in Afghanistan. He's you know, and he's a good guy, right? He's trying to help his own people survive the carnage over there, the battle scene. And yet we took him out and with a drone strike, and in doing so, killed 9 other civilians. And there were children among them, right? 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old children among them. And so the Pentagon denies this, you know, for 2 weeks. And then what else didn't they do? Well, General McKenzie, he didn't resign. He didn't promise to discipline anyone for the crime. In other words, it's okay to kill children if you're the United States. That's why I'm saying that the U.S. has ceased to be good. We have ceased to be good when we kill children, when we allow the murder of innocents.
Well, and on top of it, it's one thing to make a mistake and kill these people if that's what it really was. I don't know if it was on purpose or if it was a mistake. Either way, then the cover-up and the lie, though, adds insult to injury.
Yeah, you're right. And that was just one example. There, we could turn to hundreds of examples, but the other big one, Sam, is the drone papers that were published in October of 2015. There was a gentleman there who published those papers. His name is Daniel Hale. I have to look him up because Hale is my grandma's maiden name. So Daniel Hale. Anyway, Sam, he was the one who published the drone papers in October 15. What did they say? Well, they detailed the U.S. drone strikes in Afghanistan, Somalia, Yemen, and other places in the Middle East, and indicated that up to 90% of the casualties at one point were innocent, but the military classified them all as terrorists, so that they could stab their consciences, so they could, you know, not have to face the fact that they were killing innocent people. And so that's that was Daniel Hale. Guess what they did? They sent him to prison for 45 months. Sam, this was just 3 months ago, back in July of this year. Daniel Hale, who published the drone papers, was sent to prison for 45 months. I mean, it's smacks of Edward Snowden, Julian Assange. There's another man who blew the whistle on the CIA's torture program. His name is John Krakow, maybe? I don't know. Likewise, he ended up behind bars. And so it's just, we're upside down. We're not a good country anymore. We don't value life. We don't value truth. And the generals and the politicians who murder these innocents, they commit these and other war crimes. What do they get? They get medals. They get promotions. And then the politicians who support them, they get money in their campaign reelection coffers and more power. And that's the big problem, Sam. That's how this empire works. That's how the way empires always have worked. And that's why Ron Paul has for years come out so harshly against the interventionist foreign policy of this U.S. regime, Sam. You know, we do it in the name of defending democracy, quote unquote, or rules-based international order, or human rights for women and girls, right? That's the slogan. But what ends up happening
that's
is
the
we
manipulation.
Destroy lives.
And Ron Paul wrote an incredible article that highlights this reality. 20 years on, we've learned nothing from 9/11. We've learned nothing from 9/11 started all this. We started to get into all these countries saying, "Hey, we got to take action because they attacked us." And wrong countries, wrong people, wrong circumstances, just lies, lies, lies that have put us in all these wars in the first place, Lowell.
That's exactly right. In fact, remember when Ron Paul, during a presidential debate in 2007, he said, "They attacked us because we've been there sanctioning and bombing the civilian population for decades."
Let's come back, Lowell. Repeat that quote from Ron Paul because it's so poignant today. It's shocking. Quick pause, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonnell on Sunday ruled against Democrats' plan to provide 8 million green cards as part of their $3.5 trillion spending bill. The money requested by Democrats is very close to what America spent on all of World War II and has zero Republican support. The U.S. government has begun deporting hundreds of Haitian migrants who camped out near Del Rio, Texas. An estimated 13,000 Haitians swelled the border last week, adding to the self-induced crisis at the border. More than 320 migrants arrived in Port-au-Prince on three flights from the United States on Sunday and early Monday. A half dozen more flights are expected this week. The Northport Police Department in Florida says it currently has no plans to conduct a major search of the Carlton Reserve today, the place where authorities had been looking for Brian Laundrie over the weekend. Laundrie is a person of interest in the Gabby Petito investigation. On Sunday, authorities found a body in Wyoming that is believed to be Petito's. USA Radio News.
Are you on Medicare or soon to go on? Some important news from Newsmax. The Medicare Board of Trustees just released a report saying it will run out of money in 2026. It's happening sooner than imagined. All this week, Grant Stinchfield reveals the shocking story of Medicare abuse. He talks to the insiders, tells you what happened, and shows you how you can protect your insurance. Watch Stinchfield's Medicare Abuse series on Newsmax at 8 p.m. Eastern. Newsmax is America's fastest-growing cable news channel. It's on every major cable system. Just check your cable guide. If your cable system doesn't carry Newsmax, call your operator or switch to a service that does. Get Newsmax on most streaming services or download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. It takes just seconds. Newsmax covers the big stories you need to know. Medicare is in real trouble. Get the facts about your insurance. Watch Stinchfield on Newsmax tonight.
As the border crisis looks more like an invasion, with the addition of 13,000 Haitians flooding the wall-less border since late last week, Texas Governor Republican Greg Abbott responds.
Texas is stepping up and doing what the federal government is supposed to do. The Biden administration's open border policies have opened the floodgates to illegal immigration, to crime, to human trafficking, to drug smuggling.
Liberal Party Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada gambled on an early election in a bid to win a majority of seats in Parliament, but now faces the threat of being knocked from power in Canada's election on Monday. Polls are showing Trudeau's Liberal Party in a tight race with rival Conservatives. Trudeau's philosophy is that Canadians will reward him for the way he handled the pandemic. Canada is now one of the most vaccinated nations in the world, and Trudeau's government spent hundreds of billions of dollars to prop up the economy amid lockdowns. This is USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the abuses that take place around the world. We're just a warlike people, ladies and gentlemen. And it's got to stop. We talked about that no one will resign for killing Kabul children. Shows the American Empire's true face. There's no doubt about it. We lied. We killed innocent civilians. All the other around the world press told about it, even CNN this time. Rare, but they did. And the Pentagon literally argued with it. Who was peddling fake news? The answer, your government, for well over a couple of weeks till the evidence became so mountainous that they couldn't lie any further. What a shame. Ron Paul wrote an article talking about 20 years on, and we learned nothing from 9/11 and nothing from this. But really, Ron Paul's point back then, reiterated now, really highlights the truth. Look, folks, the reason that they attacked us is because we're over there causing trouble, breaching sovereignty, warlike mentality, murdering innocents. And they're sick of it, and the blowback principle the CIA documented is the reason and the reality. Everybody just mocked, how dare you say that, da-da-da. But now the words ring so true, it's shocking, lol.
Yeah, Ron Paul's been prophetic in so many ways, on so many fronts, whether it's the monetary policy or foreign policy. And this is definitely another place where he tells it like it is, and it turns out that it is like he told us. He said, quote, they attacked us because we've been in the Middle East, sanctioning and bombing the civilian population for decades. The 9/11 attackers were not motivated to commit suicide terrorism on the Twin Towers and Pentagon because they dislike our freedoms. As then-President Bush claimed, they hated us and still hate us because we're over there killing them day after day, year after year. In fact, Sam, just a few days ago, President Biden slaughtered Zamari Ahmadi and 9 members of his family, including 7 children, in Afghanistan, the administration was bragging about taking out a top ISIS target. But they lied. You know, we covered that just in the previous segment. Ahmadi was just an aid worker working for a California-based organization bringing water to suffering Afghan village residents. That's what he was doing, and yet he got taken out. And then there's no apology. There's no, I guess there was a lame apology saying we're profoundly sorry, something like that.
But there's really no accountability is what we're getting at, ladies and gentlemen. There's no accountability, and there needs to be. People need to go to prison for this. Again, we're not even in a declared war. Let's be constitutionally clear here, ladies and gentlemen. There is really no authority for the 20-year on war that we were in at all. So anyway, there you have it. But the government lied on war. The government now continues to lie on COVID, on vaccines, etc. Now the CDC moves the goalposts again. Well, this is an example where, government just lies. They just are dishonest. And when they get caught lying, they don't have the integrity to even admit they lied. They just pretend like it wasn't so.
And so here's a very interesting case that this, it was not in any news piece that I know of, but my friend, one of my buddies, told me about this Saturday night, and so I looked it up. I went to the Wayback Machine, which is a website that stores, that archives websites so that we can identify these types of issues. Basically, the CDC has had a definition of the word vaccine on their website, been there for years. And it used to say this, a vaccine used to be defined as, quote, a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease, end quote. Okay, that's what this website used to say. But until September 1 of this year, just a few weeks ago, they changed the definition of that word to mean, quote, a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases, end quote. So in other words, Sam, they know that vaccines cannot guarantee immunity, so they changed the definition of the word vaccine. That means they moved the goalpost so that the word vaccine now does not contain the word immunity. Nowadays, a vaccine simply stimulates the body's immune response. It does, like the old definition was to produce immunity. They took that out, and then they said simply it stimulates the body's immune response. They did not change the definition of immunity, right? So it's still the same as it was before, protection from an infectious disease. If you're immune to a disease, you can be exposed to it without becoming infected. That's the definition of immunity. Well, they don't guarantee immunity anymore with the current vaccine, with the definition of a vaccine anymore. They don't intend for vaccines anymore, produce immunity. And so all they want to do is stimulate the body's immune response, but they don't guarantee immunity. Now, in the natural immune response will guarantee immunity, but their vaccines will not. And so, I don't know, Sam, some people might think this is, a thick discussion about a thin thing or a small thing, But which would you rather have, Sam? Would you rather have immunity or protection?
Well, obviously, I'd rather have immunity. And this, what's interesting is they don't even know, if there's protection. And I don't know if I've highlighted this with you or just other people on the radio. It's hard to keep track of who's with me when sometimes. But I don't know if you know about this, but the government blatantly admits, the CDC, the FDA, the WHO, everybody admits they don't know what the threshold of antibodies needs to be in your body or my body to even have protection. Mm-hmm. They don't know that. And since they don't know that, they don't have a yardstick, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a measuring tool. And if you don't have a measuring tool, then my question for everybody is, how do they know vaccines are effective? If they don't know how much antibodies I need, even if it boosts the antibodies for me, if it doesn't rise to the level of effectiveness based on how much is required to be protected, then they're lying. They don't know that it's effective. They just say, well, most of the time we think it makes a difference. Well, all the breakthrough cases means that there was not enough antibodies, right? So all I'm telling you is even that is a lie, and they've been caught lying with that. But I don't hear anybody bringing it up but me, but they have to move the goalposts because otherwise, how do you define effective?
Yeah.
If we're going to say well, you have immunity and that's effective, then they haven't achieved it. They say that the breakthrough cases are incredibly rare, but I know a ton of people that have been vaccinated that have had breakthroughs. So it's not as rare as you think, but they don't have a yardstick. They don't have a measuring stick at all on this thing. They don't even know. And now then they say that, well, I guess we can't use immunity as the effective thing. We're just going to basically use this other term. What's this other term? What's the other
protection.
Term? Well, protection. But what does protection mean? If you don't know how many antibodies I need to be protected, how are you going to tell me I have protection?
Well, yeah, and see, that's the point. You're kind of protected. You may or may not get the disease because your protection may not be sufficiently strong. And that's which speaks to your point that you know just the presence of antibodies doesn't guarantee you won't get the disease. And a doctor back on the symposium last week mentioned this as well. He said, and not only is it the case that the presence of antibody doesn't guarantee you won't get the disease, but the absence of an antibody doesn't guarantee that you will avoid the disease. So, in other words, there's no guarantees. There's nothing like natural immunity. One of the points was there are 1,400 characteristics of this disease that are captured by your natural immune system, but the vaccine, the messenger RNA, in the vaccines that they give to these people is trained to identify one of those 1,400 characteristics. And so, and not the other 1,399. So basically we're trying to play God with this mRNA vaccine. And, you know, it's just not working.
Well, the bottom line is they're lying, ladies and gentlemen. They know it. They've been caught lying. That's why they got to move the goalposts. Instead of saying you're immune now, you're protected. But if they're all protected, then why are they worried about the non-vaccinated?
Exactly.
See,
yeah.
So again, more and more evidence of dishonesty. The sad part is it's going to have incredible impact on the military to the negative, lol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because look at Israel. They're vaccinated. Look at their hospitals are filled with vaccinated people. You know, they have been vaxxed. They're like well over 80% of their population is vaccinated, and their hospitals are full of vaccinated sick people, and they're sick for a variety of causes. We've discussed this for a long time, you know, on this show, the blood clotting issues, the miscarriages, the heart attacks, myocarditis, you know, in youth, enlarged hearts. I mean, just the string of adverse events from these vaccines is in the hundreds of thousands right here in the United States, and it's just sad to see so many adverse effects from this vaccine.
Well, and this is going to have a serious effect on the military too, Lol.
One of the speakers at the symposium last week was a sergeant based at Hill Air Force Base. They have until December 2nd to get vaccinated or face a discharge, Sam. And there's going to be, you know, the military is going to lose, I don't know, 5, 10, 20% of their troops because of this stupid mandate.
Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, Sam Bushman, Lil Nelson on your radio. Hard-hitting talk continues, ladies and gentlemen. No doubt about it. There's so much to cover, so little time. But the military is getting decimated by the fact about these vaccines and the forced vaccinations. People just don't want to take them. And you're starting to see hospitals and frontline workers and military personnel and all kinds of people just saying, we're leaving. We're not doing it anymore. It's a serious, serious issue. Any final thoughts on that, Lowell?
No, that's it. This gentleman, this sergeant, he's been in the military 12 years. He had hoped to make it 20, you know, make a full career out of it. And yet he is now faced with this decision, do I get the jab or not? And he's not going to. And so he's trying desperately to persuade his commanders. And you know, the commanders are somewhat sympathetic with him because they don't want to lose all these good men and women who are working for them. And so it's causing a lot of consternation there in our troops among, you know, probably all four arms of the military branches of this country. And so I don't know, it's just it's terribly unfortunate what Biden did. Obviously he's a puppet, so you know, he's taking orders from somebody else, I imagine. But are they doing this on purpose? I just have to think they probably are, because they want to decimate our military, they want to weaken the country, they want us to make us more subservient and pliable in their hands. The globalists want us a weak America, because we've been the stopping point for their objectives for decades. So the more they can weaken America, probably the more effective they're going to be globally. So that's kind of what I think is happening.
Well, and if you think that the military is the only one that's starting to balk at this and kind of taking a beating on this, the vaccine impact on the military is important. But understand, they had to quit delivering babies at a given hospital because so many workers quit over the vaccine mandate. They didn't even have enough to deliver babies anymore, so they shut that down. But here's another headline from the Epic Times that highlights the point so well. 125 staff part ways with Indiana's biggest hospital system after refusing the vaccines. So now in Indiana, the biggest hospital, they lose 125 employees over vaccines. That's huge. And so when they tell you, man, we can't take everybody in the hospital, folks, it's not because there's so many people going to the hospital. It's because they've gotten rid of half their staffs. I don't know what 125 staff members relates to in terms of that hospital. But, I mean, even if there's 1,000, it's over 10%.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's 2,000, it's 5%. No matter what, that's significant, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't think we've seen the end of it yet, by the way. All right, you wrote a letter to the Utah Attorney General, Sean Reyes. Brief us on that, Lowell.
Well, I did, Sam, in response to his decision to join a lawsuit with about, 25, 27 other states suing the government over this mandate, the vaccine mandate. Now, initially, a lot of people were excited about this, and they still are. I mean, a lot of people are optimistic. Well, we can just sue the government and tell, you know, about this mandate. It's improved to them that we'll go to court, and we'll get a ruling from the court that this mandate is unconstitutional, and we'll just shove it in his face, and we're not going to, you know, do this mandate thing. Well, and of course, my good friend Gail Ruzicka, who you and I both know and count as dear friend, she encouraged us to thank Sean for doing that in an email over the weekend. And so I sat down, began my email, and something a little different than just mere thanks came out of my head and my heart, because I basically explained to him, you know, and he knows all of this, but I just recited the facts of the situation. Basically, the states existed before the general government was ever created. The states were sovereign, independent, free states. They were recognized as such by King George III in the Treaty of Paris of 1783, for example. And the states later, you know, 10 years, 12 years later, formed the general government when they ratified the U.S. Constitution. And approving that compact, the states vested in that general government a few well-defined enumerated powers. What was not mentioned was not granted. So basically, the states empowered the general government to do just a couple things and nothing else. The states did not vest in that general government authority for domestic issues such as education and health care, law enforcement, so forth. All other power remained in the states with the people domiciled in these states. And furthermore, you know, all legislative power, according to the U.S. Constitution, all legislative power herein granted shall be vested in a Congress. Right? It didn't say some power, it said all power, which means that neither the president nor the Supreme Court may exercise legislative power. That's a well-settled principle. So when President Biden says that companies with more than 100 employees must require their employees to take the clot shot or to be tested, then he is legislating. He is arrogating power that he does not legally, rightfully have. And then what I said to Sean...
And I would go further, though, and submit to you that's criminal activity, sir.
Excellent point, yeah. And he ought to be indicted and, removed from office because... Of this act, because he is basically
waging war.
Well, he
ought to be impeached, and then charges need to be filed. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's right. He's waging war on the states when he says, and we played this quote last week, I think, where he says, we will remove the governors if they don't cooperate with this. You know, that's like waging a war on the states. That's the very definition of treason in our U.S. Constitution, Sam. The founders wrote that right in. That treason consists of waging war against the state, right?
So there Biden, you have it. Biden guilty as all get out. But what we expect from the GOP governors and legislators from this crisis is really important, Lowell.
Well, that's very true. And they don't understand what the real solution is, which is what I wrote in the latter half of my letter to Sean Reyes. I said that I appreciate your, you know, decision to file a lawsuit, but please do not rely on that as a last resort. What if the lawsuit goes to a federal court whose opinion is that the mandate is legal? Are you then going to say to Utahns that we got to comply with the mandate? Well, so I said Utah should nullify the mandate just as we nullified the DEA's prohibition on the use of cannabis. Just say no. You know, James Madison gave us the blueprint when he said a refusal to cooperate with the officers of the Union, right? States have a duty to erect barriers against the encroachment of the general government upon our liberties. So, you know, and so I quoted James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, the attorney general here. And in fact, this last quote I gave him from James Madison from the Report of 1800 emphatically asserts that states retain absolute authority to determine the constitutionality of an action. Quote, the states then being parties to the constitutional compact and in their sovereign capacity, it follows of necessity that there can be no tribunal above their authority. right? And I continued that.
And to prove your point, Lowell, I had Richard Mack on, and we discussed this right when the decision from Biden came out about this forced vaccine discussion. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, Kristi Noem and everybody else, you know, Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott and everybody else in these conservative supposedly states. And they, you know, said, we're going to sue. And I had Richard Mack on, and we talked about Richard Mack's incredible win at the Supreme Court. And his mm-hmm. it's the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not aware of it. But all I'm telling you is Richard Mack said it's not wise to sue. He did, and he won, and he's so grateful that he did. But he learned so much along the way that he would have never sued again. He would have just simply nullified. And the reason why is because even in Mack's case, they got a split decision, which eventually let them go to the Supreme Court. But if they didn't get that split decision, they might not have ever got there. And so what you do is you put your fate in the hands of a very few mid-level judges along your way, and the Supreme Court may never even visit your issue. And if they don't, you're cooked before you ever start. And so he wisely pointed out that, look, in his decision, it talks about, Antonin Scalia wrote the prevailing decision, which basically said, look, there are dual sovereignties between the states and the federal government, and they're both responsible for their delegated jurisdictional responsibilities. And they only have power that's delegated to them. And there is no power from the federal government delegated in any way that gives them control over the states. The states have no obligation to obey the federal government on any point. Okay, they are not subject to the federal or the general government at all, articulates Antonin Scalia in this. And so not only do I agree on the nullify thing, but we need to get these governors and train them and these attorney generals and train them in the greatest 10th Amendment case, Richard Mack's case, and help them understand, look, there is no authority whatsoever. Why are you going to ask permission? Why are you going to leave it in the hands of a few robed thugs that might go against you and not even let you get to the Supreme Court for a final decision, etc.? Why let these mid-level judges render opinion? Why put it in the hands of so few? And believe it or not, there's an I'm going to be talking about this with Dr. Scott Bradley next hour. But Justice Clarence Thomas, against politicizing the Supreme Court, saying that doing so could make the judicial system the most dangerous branch of government. During a speech at the University of Notre Dame, Justice Thomas cautioned against allowing others to manipulate our institutions when we don't get the answers that we like. Anyway, he goes on, but we need to be very careful not to make the Supreme Court the greatest, strongest branch of government. That's a serious, serious mistake. So nullify now. Do it now. You've proven that you can do it because you did it with cannabis. We know that it's possible. We know that it's legal, legitimate remedy, and simply get it done. But I submit to you that these governors and attorney generals don't have the guts to do that because then they become responsible, Lowell.
Yeah, it's like they have a hammer and a nail. You know, attorneys grow up with a hammer and a nail, and that's what they've been trained to use. They think everything can be settled with a lawsuit, and of course it turns into a lot of money for them, so that's the tool they use. But what I'm telling people and what I want AG Sean Reyes to know is that don't think a federal court should get the last word on this matter. That is absolutely untrue. That's not right. The state, every single state in its capacity as a free, sovereign, independent state has a duty to do that. And we, the people.
And that's why on the pro-life issue with abortions, too, we don't need to wait for some overturning of Roe versus mm-hmm. Wade. We just simply in our states need to do what Texas has done and just simply say, look, we're nullifying abortions, murder in our state. We're not doing it. But yeah. Again, Utah doesn't seem to have the guts, but our prayers are that they do. I want to end on a good note, Lowell.
Sure.
Here's the good note. Federal judge blocks New York State health care worker vaccination mandate.
Cool.
So you know what? It's not enough yet, ladies and gentlemen, but it's a start. But again, I don't think we need to go to the courts. There's going to be plenty of lawsuits from private businesses. Let them handle the courts and the lawsuits. In the meantime, governments, attorney generals, governors, you'd need to simply nullify now and say, look, that isn't happening in our state. We are the leaders of this sovereign republic of Utah, or whatever your state may be, and we're simply going to take care of business as we know we need to. Our states and the federal constitution back our play. We have never delegated authority to the federal government in this matter, and we never will. End of story. Lowell, final words yours.
I really appreciate, by the way, Richard Mack, he's sending out more emails, 2 or 3 a week now. And so anybody that's not getting his emails needs to sign up at cstoa.org. And you too can get Richard Mack's emails. They're great.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Nullify Now is the answer. Lowell Nelson with us. Thank you so much, sir. Godspeed.
Welcome, Sam. Good to be with you.
CampaignForLiberty.org, always doing just a phenomenal job, I'm telling you right now. Look, folks, we got to go to work. Get on your knees and pray, and then work hard. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.